You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got Megan here with Rudo coming to you live on an Avalanche off day as we are officially 10 days away from the start of the NHL playoffs. They're coming very, very quickly. And you know, I thought we've been too negative around here a little bit at times. So I wanted to get some hype going. I want to build some hype towards the playoffs, not just for the Avs, though definitely for the Avs, but also for the NHL playoffs as a whole. It's widely considered to be the best playoffs in sports. There are some extremely elite teams in the league this year, and there are a bunch of teams that I think people feel like can do damage. Got to start with the question everyone wants to know. Who's the cup favorite this year, Megan?
It feels like it's going to be... Okay, so Florida's up there.
I'm with you on that one.
But I feel like the West... Maybe it's my West bias coming through because that's predominantly where I watch games. But I feel like it's going to come down to Dallas, Colorado type situation. And I just think it's revealing that there's a couple teams in the West that I think could be a cup favorite.
I'm here for the take. I think you have to put Colorado up there for a handful of reasons that we'll get into. Dallas, totally fair. You cannot count out Vegas if they get healthy.
Yeah, I leave them out, but it's a great point. And they're anticipated to get some reinforcements. So yep. That just makes them more dangerous.
Yeah. And on the other side, Florida, of course, but the Rangers have been coming on very strong, of a chance to win the President's Trophy. I know they lost to the Islanders the other night, but still a team up near the top of the standings. You have a Boston team that, one, is, I think, better than most people expected this year, but a team looking for revenge for a first-round exit from last season. So there really are a number of different storylines, both West and East, that you can get into with these playoffs. And look, I get it. Seeding is still yet to be decided. There's still regular season things that do matter. But it's, if you, things don't break your way, unless you're one of the bubble teams in the East, you're still in the playoffs. You still have that opportunity to go out and play some of the best hockey in the world. Am I overstepping here? Should I be hyped on the Avs going into these playoffs, or should I be worried?
I think some of that worry is trauma from last season. And it's well placed, because the reality for playoffs, generally speaking, is the randomness of it all and the possibility of the unexpected injuries, things that you just can't predict happening to any team. Yep. And as we've seen with the Avs this year, injury does affect this group. Unfortunately, sure. They are made better when they have a lot of their key pieces in the lineup and their depth has been tested. And it feels like that's maybe the most untested part of this group right now is the depth. And it was so important in the cup run. But
there,
I look at how much better some of the new additions from the cup run got by the time the playoffs came around. It just felt like things really started to click. Like, I was thinking about it this morning when Jared Bednar compared Casey Mittelstadt to Jonathan Drouin. And you look at what Drouin's been able to do in Colorado with a full season under his belt, yep. And it's really encouraging. Had Mittelstadt gotten that amount of games with the Avs, we'd probably be having a bit more confidence around the situation than we do right now, with some of these yep. new additions being just a little untested with this Avalanche group specifically. But I think you can count on the boost that players coming through Colorado get in looking at what Val Nichushkin became in the 2022 playoffs, what Jonathan Drouin has become in just a season's time.
Yep.
I think that's what you could point to get excited that things can go up from here. And I look back at how the Avs closed out that 2022 season. There were some tough games. The circumstances were different. They were able to rest guys because they had clinched the West, whereas for Colorado right now, they're hungry for the points, but they're also trying to strike the right balance of not overextending themselves right before game one. And I think that's why we've seen such highs and lows in this most recent stretch. But games like the Minnesota game are what get me hype because it has a playoff feel.
Yep.
That feels like Colorado woke up and decided to be on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I look forward to in the playoffs with this Avs group is they have shown to me time and time again that when it is time to turn it on, they can flip that switch. It's frustrating then to look back on the Dallas games where that would have been a great game to flip that switch. And I think that's where some of the concern creeps in and then the uncertainty of the playoffs last year. But all in all, Arturi Lehkonen, since he's returned to this Avs group, is in some of his best form yet. It just goes kind of quietly under the radar because of the role that he plays. Nathan MacKinnon is playing a historic season of hockey. I've lost words to describe what this version of MacKinnon is. And I look back to the beginning of the season when he told all of us that the game has slowed down for him. And I don't think we took that seriously enough. How terrifying that is. Even Cale Makar, in what some people might consider a down year, is just a point behind Quinn Hughes. I'm not saying he should get the Norris this year, but he's in that conversation even in what is considered a down year. You have Val Nichushkin, who's just returned and historically needs a few games to also get the rust off. And I think that is going to happen right in line with game one. And then the Brandon Duhames, the Yakov Trenins, they're little balls of energy that have injected a little bit of life back into this group that I think, I don't want to say they've been playing lifeless hockey at any point this season. It's just hard to replace what Logan O'Connor brought. And when you look at that fourth line from the cup run, it's a really necessary piece that I think is going to bring returns that we haven't seen in the regular season because the playoff atmosphere is just going to demand very different hockey.
The hockey that, in theory, should be built for someone like Val Nichushkin, as you mentioned. And you also talked about, not trying to compare this to 2022, the end of the regular season at all. Obviously, it's very different situations. But you look at someone like Mikko Rantanen, who gets a little bit of forced rest in the winding down parts of this season. And you can see where the Avs should be coming into the playoffs at their best. Now, are they as good a team as 2022? I think probably not. No. Are they that far off, though?
Well, and I look around at the rest of the NHL.
That's
and that's sort of what I compare the 2022 team to. Like, I'm looking at how Colorado stacks up against other teams in the NHL this season. You kind of look at goal scoring on the whole, and it feels like, am I mistaken? Is it trending upwards?
Even
bigger
a lot
compared to last year?
Yeah.
And so we look at the Alexander Georgiev situation, and we're stressed out by it. But I think there have been a lot of goaltenders who've been proven fallible this year beyond just Georgiev.
Yep.
And I think that's because there is this flood of goal scoring that has just made the overall picture for the NHL a little different from what the 2022 landscape was.
It's a fair point. The league is different, not just the Avs. So it'll be, I am genuinely curious to see how that translates to playoff hockey, right? Historically, the game is tighter. Generally speaking, it's tougher to score in the playoffs. I'm expecting a reduction in goals coming playoff time, but I don't know how big that reduction will be. Will we see it take a step down but still be higher scoring than it has been in the last couple of years? Or will we see a big step down back to maybe what we would call a more normal playoffs?
That's what's hard for me to predict, too. And I think that it's going to be the kind of thing that affects everyone, not just the Avs. And it's why I remain pretty hopeful for how this team stacks up going into it all.
I'm excited. I really do think, you know, regardless of what happens with the Avs, I do think these playoffs will be a good one. It does not feel predetermined. I think in a lot of ways, that 2022 run by the Avs, it felt like it was going to be the Avs the whole way.
You look at their path to the Cup, too, and I'm not going to say it was easy, but they made quick work of it.
For sure.
I was just looking at Nichushkin's individual performance, and I saw 15 points in 20 games, and I was like, 20 feels kind of low, but they also just made really quick work of that run. I don't think the path to the Cup is going to be that easy for any team that's trying to. I think getting through the West is going to be really difficult for everyone. I think it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yep.
And I don't predict then it's going to be that easy. But hopefully, with some of those depth pieces we talked about a second ago, that's where they can weather that storm a little bit better.
I hope so. I would be shocked to see, again, not just the Avs, any team comes even close to 16-4, I would be shocked this year from East or West. I think the league is maybe too good isn't the right word, but too even across the board. I think teams have all gotten to a level where it's just on any given night anybody can win. And that's always true of the league, but no one is that stacked outside of maybe a fully healthy Vegas. But again, we just don't know what their lineup is going to look like on game one and how healthy everyone really is for that team. So question marks all over the place for sure, but it'll be interesting. Obviously there's a lot of conversations with the Avs that, you know, maybe there are some question marks left. What's going on with Nikolai Kovalenko? Will he get to play any NHL games, regular season or playoffs this year? Who ends up being the 12th or 13th forward? What does the defense look like if you have to go to your seventh guy? Is it Sam Malinsky or is it Caleb Jones? Am I too in the weeds thinking about these things at this point?
No, I think they're important to think about because I don't think they're things to get hung up on negatively. I think the question marks around Kovalenko are a positive in that that's still a potential reinforcement. And so though you would have liked to see him in an NHL game by the end of the season, there's still the possibility of AHL playoff games for him to get under his belt. And you know what I like about this? The AHL playoff games are far more structured than their regular season. And so this might not have been the plan A, but the plan B is still to get Kovalenko kind of introduced to the Avs systems, but on a stage that maybe is a little less high pressure in the AHL playoffs. And it's going to be some pretty intense hockey that I think that's a pretty good introduction. And we can glean then, too, what kind of form he's in, if it is worth giving him a shot with the playoffs. It, of course, because those stakes are higher, this is, again, not the plan A, but that is still a possible depth reinforcement. I think that can only be seen as a positive. Once you get past the negative of him getting injured in the final seconds of his last NHL game, there's nothing positive about that. I would have loved to see him in an NHL game, but it's still exciting that he is a possible reinforcement. And with Caleb Jones, Sam Malinsky, it's a little harder because obviously Sam Malinsky lacks some experience.
For sure.
What I like about Caleb Jones as the seventh guy is he's been with the team a significant amount now through the end of this year. And there's a familiarity with the group and how they want to play. Like, when the Avs experience some of these tough losses that they have, he's in that room. He's having those conversations. He's been integrated in the culture all year. I think that's going to be really valuable, even though we haven't seen him in game action. I think that's what's going to give him an edge over a Sam Malinsky type. And he also just has a little bit more NHL experience.
Yep.
Because I reflect on Brad Hunt last year. And the experience is important, but it isn't the end-all be-all. And that's why I look at, for like the 13th forward conversation, Chris Wagner taking a really dumb penalty and getting benched for the rest of the game.
Just got reassigned today.
That's not going to be great for the 13th forward.
Yeah.
I like what he's done in some aspects, so I don't hate him as the guy that's there.
Yeah.
Because when you even look at the 2022 depth, I still think that was better too. There were weird injuries that happened down the line and really drew upon that death that they probably will have to consider a reality where Chris Wagner does take a few shifts, just hopefully not for very long. It's a very real possibility. And hopefully the conversations then about taking dumb penalties are happening now instead of in the playoffs.
Yep.
I think a really strong message has been sent with him being reassigned.
For sure. I'm curious your opinion on this comment from Coal Mining here. He says he's of the, I'm assuming you're a he, I don't actually know. They are of the opinion this team is worse than last year's team. I don't really agree with that, but I'm curious where you stand on it.
Well, I think they have a real second line center option where they didn't last year.
Yep.
So I think that's an improvement. Let me reflect on even the bottom of the D-core has improved. Like looking at what was, would it have been Eric Johnson, Jack Johnson at the time?
Yeah, and then Jack Johnson got hurt.
Jack Johnson got hurt.
Warm up of game one.
Yeah. Sean Walker
yep.
is an immediate upgrade
yep.
over that option.
Yep.
And it's not to say that Bo didn't, it's just, you know, like there are pieces obviously that have been lost from this lineup, but I think what Sean Walker has brought has added more to the D-core. Mm-hmm. And the forward, like not having Val Nichushkin in the Seattle series versus having
obviously,
Val Nichushkin.
Obviously, there's some context there, yeah.
Feels like it's an immediate upgrade as well. There were guys already playing banged up. Josh Manson wasn't healthy. Arturi Lehkonen wasn't healthy.
Yep.
There were guys fighting through injuries. And to my knowledge, that's not the situation that they're in. Doesn't mean that there are guys not playing through anything, but it's not as dire as it was from the Seattle series, from my perspective. And we just have never seen this version of Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Even Mikko Rantanen strung together a 100-point 40-goal season. I know he had an impressive year last year as well, but it's hard for me to believe that this year's group isn't anything but better than last year's group, starting with the second line center being a bona fide 2C. That's still finding its way, but I think an immediate improvement in that, right?
The forward core is, in my opinion, significantly better than it was last year. Yeah, in part, Nichushkin presumably will be there for all of the playoffs. Also, Nathan MacKinnon having the literal best season in franchise history. But you also have Casey Mittelstadt. You also have Jonathan Drouin.
Gosh, yeah.
That this lineup didn't... I'm sorry, Jonathan Drouin or Evan Rodriguez, the choice is easy. It's Jonathan Drouin every single time right now.
And I really liked Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah, no. Not,
but...
Erod was great, and he was like the third most important forward on that team.
Yeah.
And you have Jonathan Drouin as like the fifth most important forward on this team now.
Yeah,
and
what he's become.
So... Yeah, it's. I just don't think the forward depth is even close. That this year's team is better. Even going down into the depth with some of the additions you mentioned earlier, with guys like Trennan and Duhaime to help round out that bottom six, Ross Colton. The list goes on. We don't know. Of course, you have to get into the playoffs and actually see the team produce, or as it was last year, the lack of production from their forward depth. But it's really easy to have a lot more faith in that group than it was last season.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that for Colorado. We will talk about that a little bit more, but before we do, I was driving into work today. In front of me, Toyota 4Runner. To my left, Toyota 4Runner. Behind me, Toyota 4Runner. So I was boxed in by our new sponsor. Toyota is apparently a popular car here in Colorado. Make sure you go get your Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR, at your local Front Range Toyota dealerships today. You can get tons of different cars, obviously. A lot of people, big fans of the 4Runner, but they also have a great line of trucks and over 16 hybrid and fully electric vehicles coming out of Toyota. Mm-hmm. Tons of vehicles with all-wheel or four-wheel drive, too. Whatever it is you fancy, if you're going off-road or if you just need a car that you're commuting into work, Toyota has a car for you. Get with them. They're great at what they do. They highly recommend, you know, I get it. You like trucks, but you also want to be eco-conscious. You can do both with the iForce Hybrid Max. Go get in with Toyota if you haven't jumped on the train yet. They are the official vehicle of DNVR and the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche. So you know, be official about it. Mm-hmm. Get in with Toyota at one of your Front Range Toyota stores. AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe and Centennial. Corwin Toyota in Boulder. Groove Toyota in Littleton. Mountain State Toyota in Denver. Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora. And Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Again, the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche and the official vehicle of DNVR Toyota. Once you've got your Toyota, make sure you throw down some money on Bet365. Have a little bit of fun with it. Use code DNVR365 to sign up for a new account. Bet $5 on any NHL game. Get $150 in bonus bets. Throw some money down on the playoffs. Pick a team to win the whole thing. Pick a team to win the conference. Pick Mac to win the Hart. Pick somebody to win the Conn Smythe, if that's how you're vibing on it. However you want to go in with it, do it with Bet365. Of course, you know, you can bet on the Nuggets playoffs too. If you're a basketball person, that's cool. I get it. I don't blame you. You can bet on the Rockies to be bad. You can bet on the Broncos to be bad. Plenty of gambling to be done when it comes to Colorado sports, even if, you know, not all the teams are good. Do it with Bet365. Sign up with that DNVR365 code. And of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone that you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Wanted to formalize some of this hype with a never ordinary top five brought to you by Bet365 for the Colorado Avalanche. Last week, we did a five concerns about the playoffs for Colorado and some of the biggest issues they're facing. Today, we're doing five reasons to get excited about the Avs in the playoffs. Starting with number five, and this is one that I think people may be a little bit surprised by. Colorado is in the top eight teams in the NHL in 5v5 possession. And maybe more importantly, they're in the top five teams when it comes to scoring chance against rates. For a team that it feels like has been porous at times defensively, at 5v5, they really don't give up as much as you might think. It's a team that plays a playoff-style game, I would argue.
I think looking at the defensive lapses that happened in this recent stretch that I think prompted the Avs D is worse than it was in the 2022 season, which, true, it's pretty hard to stack up to how that D performed in just even the seasons that you got from Cale Makar alone that year. Make that an unfair comparison. But when you look at the mistakes that get made in this recent stretch, I think there's maybe a little bit of recency bias that has, I don't want to say overemphasized concerns around Colorado's D, but I think that it can maybe be limited more so to that stretch of games because of how they like to play possession hockey. And when they do have D that likes to activate and they got caught then deep in the zone and a broken play occurs and a transition happens, it's harder for them to get there on the back check. And it's because they just like to play so deep inside the offensive zone because they usually do control possession. That is their style. And so it's usually not such a freeway through the neutral zone for Colorado. I think that's why those mistakes and turnovers cost them so much, is they were playing so deep. Yeah. And that usually works for them because they have a nice combination of skill to keep play alive through passing play, and then also hard workers like the Lekkonens to retrieve pucks and also extend possession that way. And because they have D that likes to get involved, I think that's why sometimes they got caught not where they needed to be in time on the back check. And I think they've dug in, looked at the film. I saw a lot of immediate response to that in the Minnesota game.
8 shots on goal at 5. That's it.
One high danger scoring chance against.
Not bad.
Bednar thought that is the lowest high danger chances allowed in his last five seasons.
Yeah.
And I don't have the hard number, but one high danger chance against at 5-on-5 and even strength is pretty impressive to me. And I'm not going to say that's going to be the result every game for Colorado.
Of course not.
Not every opponent's going to be Minnesota. Not a dunk on them. But
a little bit of a dunk.
All that to say, I think that possession is a strength of this Colorado team. And where it harmed them recently was just a little lack of focus is what I would attribute it to. Because I think they're a smarter hockey team. I think they're more skilled and can usually complete the skill plays and keep possession, as evidenced by the numbers.
Yep.
They have just been a good possession team. It's part of their identity, and it's something that's ingrained in all four lines, in all of the decor. It's how they're structured to defend, and it's a strength of this team. I'm not going to look at it as a negative just because they had some defensive lapses recently.
Yep. Same. I just want to make sure people did not forget who the Colorado Avalanche are when it comes to possession hockey. Even if they're not perfect, they're pretty good at it.
They're good.
Number four, this one, another one that maybe recency has clouded people's thoughts on this, but home ice.
Can I give you crap for a second?
Yeah.
I think it's funny that home ice was actually our number four for last week's top five.
Yeah. No.
No, I thought that was fun.
Because on last week's top five, you feel like the Avs need home ice because that's where they're so good. But let's not forget that either A, they get home ice and guarantee themselves, you know, I guess any series, you're guaranteed two games at home, but potentially up to four games at home if you get it. And even if you don't, the Avs get minimum two and then maybe three games at home for a team that, sure, over the past 10 days, they've lost a couple at home, but across the course of this season have been the best team in the NHL on home ice.
Yes.
So it's not like that just, if anything, that should increase in extremities in the playoffs, right?
This is where I think the playoff hockey enters the conversation and things become a little different for Colorado because their road record left a lot to be desired this year, but it was a strength of the Avs 2022 team. Again, not the same team. I just feel like the Avs can take on new life in that, right, in the playoffs. And what you can look forward to is how good they've been consistently at home. Like, you can count on that, but I'm not even ruling out that they won't also still be a good road team in the playoffs.
Yeah, same.
I just have every confidence they're going to dominate at home. And it's funny to think back to the 2022 run because there were a couple home games that were maybe disappointing. And when I reflect on what Nathan MacKinnon specifically has done this year, it's what makes it all the more impressive. It's not just that he's been incredibly productive. He's been consistently prolific at home. And
yep.
I think there's something to be said for the energy. That NHLPA player poll came out today.
Yep.
And I was so excited to see that in the, was it hardest building to play against aspect, Ball Arena got a nod.
Yep.
And I don't know how that's ranked in years prior, but I do think there is something to be said for Ball Arena being a hard building to come into and the Avs drawing upon the energy that the fans create.
I would also say this, and I'm not saying regular season records correlate one-to-one to the playoffs. They don't. But for a team that we feel like hasn't been great on the road this year, they've been over 500 on the road. If you play over 500 hockey on the road in the playoffs, mission accomplished. You split the road games, come home, win those ones. That's how you win playoff series. Unless you're the 2022 Avs and you just win every game.
Yeah.
But for normal teams, you gotta be effective on the road, and then you have to close at home. So, it gives me a lot of confidence, Colorado's ability to dominate at home. Number three, this one, yeah, I mean, look, the Avs are a really good hockey team at special teams. I know you might find that hard to believe when they go on cold stretches, when they have times where things aren't at their best, but right now, this second, the Avs are a top five power play team in the NHL. The only team in the West with a better power play is Edmonton. On the defensive side, they are a top eight penalty kill in the league. The only team in the West with a better penalty kill is Dallas, and it's only by a couple of 0.2 or something like that. So while they do have special teams that can be frustrating at times, let's not make the mistake of calling them bad. Because they are actually quite good, particularly in the West.
I think it's a necessity of any cup contender to have good special teams in the top 10, at least coming out of the regular season part of the conversation. And you don't necessarily count on a lot of special team opportunities in the playoffs, but you need to be ready to seize them. And in talking about the power play, it's something that when you look at the personnel that makes up that top unit, there is familiarity among them. They have played together so long that it isn't so much a gamble to count on the Avs power play being a threat because it's a pretty familiar group of guys that are extremely talented.
Yep.
So I don't think that's even a hot take to bank on. And when I look at what the penalty kill with the addition of Duhaime and Trenin did coming in March, it was a top five PK in the month of March, and it's just been trending in that direction. Obviously, there was this recent stretch here where they've allowed some power play goals against, but to see them almost immediately correct that in game and not allow any more on five short-hitting chances in the Minnesota game after allowing two up front, I have confidence that they're pretty dialed into what they want to be doing in each respective right. What the power play wants to be doing has had to make adjustments inside this season because they've also gone through some funky stretches. And I've liked the immediate reevaluation that the team is able to do and apply. And that's what I think you can get excited about for the playoffs.
Yeah, the part that has really impressed me about the power play of late, too, is a guy you mentioned earlier in this show has stepped onto that power play in Arturi Lehkonen and been the consistent force of helping them put pucks in the back of the net on that thing. Mikko Rantanen gets hurt, unfortunate, whatever, and the power play doesn't care. It's fine. Just drop a Lehkonen on there. Nichushkin in and out of the lineup, comes in, can be effective on the power play. If you have to drop him out, oh, okay, you put Casey Mittelstadt there. Oh, you can add Jonathan Drouin to the power play. It feels a lot more flexible than it has in previous years when it comes to their power play personnel.
Well, even looking at what the power play was in the Seattle series last year, this is where I feel like you can see the improvement of this year's group punctuated. And I've loved the addition of Jonathan Drouin to the power play when he gets those looks. And it is because of how well he anticipates not just Nathan MacKinnon, but everybody else. There have been some plays that MacKinnon has tried with other players in the slot that haven't worked because they're not Jonathan Drouin. And so I think that's just been another sneaky good addition. It hurts, obviously, when Val Nichushkin isn't there as the net front guy. But what Arturi Lehkonen has been able to do, stepping into the top unit as needed, what Mikko Rantanen will hopefully can, like, this was something that isn't absent from his game this year, but I think there's more. That.
Shoot the puck on the power play, Mikko.
Shoot the puck. Because one thing I've loved about Mikko on the power play, usually, is the variety.
Yep.
He uses deception and rotates on the PP to provide a couple of different scoring threats, a couple of different places. I think that went to his head a little bit too much. And so he has been trying to go for variety where he needs to maybe just go back to some of the basics that made him so successful there. And he's been still a great power play player this year. I just think there's a power play Mikko that we have not seen fully realized for this season just yet.
I hope you're right on that one. Number two, expanding off of the power play and to the Avalanche offense as a whole. They're the highest scoring team in the NHL right now. Nobody scores as many goals as the Colorado Avalanche do. Now, we've talked about how that may become tougher in the playoffs, but you have Nathan MacKinnon. You have Mikko Rantanen, like you mentioned with Cale Makar. Some guys you feel like aren't having the best years. Yeah, okay, but Miko's also a 100-point player, and he's not having the best year. And on top of all of this, yes, scoring goes down in the playoffs. For most people, for Nathan and MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen historically, their point-per-game metrics actually go up in the playoffs. So the Avs might just blow you out. They might.
I'm cracking up over even the 2022 season, the criticisms of Mikko Rantanen at times, because he just sneakily picks up assists, even though you don't necessarily feel the impact of his game. It is always there. It is ever present. That is the interesting thing about him as a player. And I just don't think Nathan MacKinnon's going to be subtle in this playoffs. I think it is going to be just as terrifying as it has been all year.
I'm not sure he knows how to be subtle anymore.
Exactly. I don't think that is who he is at all. So I think that's going to be terrifying to contend with.
It's...
Also, just want to point out, Cale Makar broke his own point season total in his down year.
His down year, the new career high in points, new Avs record in points for a defenseman. No, oh, by the way, there's three games left, so he could still get to 90 points. Wouldn't be that surprising.
And as for MacKinnon, too, he's going to break the franchise record for points in a season.
Sure looks like it. We'll put it that way. So even Mikko gets back with a chance to add a few more to his total. Not to mention career highs for a guy like a Jonathan Drouin. Lehkonen was injured, but pace-wise was on pace for a career high season. So,
and still defensively as good as ever. I just unintentionally was looking at 5-on-5 scoring chances allowed, and he is in like the top 10 in the league for the fewest allowed. And I know he's missed some time, but he's not missed that much time for that still not to be a really impressive thing for Lehkonen.
Yep. The Avs might be good, fam.
The Avs might be good.
That's all I'm saying. And then number one, come on. I know we talked about Avalanche offense, but it has to be Nathan MacKinnon by himself at number one. Very, very likely to be your Hart Trophy winner. Is long before this season, Nathan MacKinnon has always been a guy with a very singular focus in the NHL to simply win hockey games. But we're seeing stuff that I genuinely didn't think I'd ever see in my life come out of Nathan MacKinnon.
And he didn't think he'd see it either.
50-goal season for the guy. 51 with three games to play. You said it earlier. What, you can't find the words to describe what Nathan MacKinnon is doing this year. It's ridiculous.
He had his hand all over the NHLPA player poll, too. in a variety of ways, right? Like, guy that you'd want on the ice.
Yep.
I forget the exact verbiage of it, but like when you need him most, need a goal kind of a
or
thing.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Stick handling, least favorite guy to play against. And I was going back to when Nathan MacKinnon had made that comment about the game slowing down, and the NHL.com had this piece with quotes on other players talking about him around the league. And Jake Ottinger just said, terrifying.
Really glad don't have to play him round one.
No, yeah. Exactly. I was like, that is really funny. I thought that was, it summed it up pretty well. He is terrifying.
He is. He is on multiple different levels at this point, I think. But it's, every playoff team needs a true superstar, right? The 2022 run, it felt like, not that MacKinnon and Mikko and those guys weren't amazing, but it felt like it was Makar's time to be the true superstar of the team. This year, it feels like it's Mac's time to go be the true superstar. If he even keeps up what he's done in the regular season, he can single-handedly propel the Avs pretty far. If it gets better, how do you pick not the Avs to win the cup at that point? Like,
sort of the conversation around MacKinnon. I didn't do it. Or the conversation around MacKinnon for Hart compared to other incredibly talented players, the Kucherovs, the McDavids. I just feel like he separates a little bit in what he is as a player. He is producing at a clip now that belongs in the conversation with the likes of McDavid, which is impressive because that's what McDavid is.
Yep.
But beyond just matching that with his offense, this is a guy who plays like he has a perpetual chip on his shoulders. There is something so smothering about his intensity that goes so far in the playoffs. And that's what I think separates him from the McDavids. Kucherov might have that quality, but I just think it's so unique to MacKinnon. It's, you know, he's the wrecking ball on the ice. He can not only just be a scoring threat, but he can be a punishing physical threat as needed. It's not going to say that he's the most physical player, but when that side of his game comes out, it's pretty punishing. And that's what I mean by smothering intensity. And I think that's just so unique to MacKinnon. It draws criticism at times, just how hyper-focused he can be with that intensity, but it's also his strength and why I think he is a superstar unlike some of the other superstars that are out there.
Yep. It's interesting. And I don't want to take anything away from McDavid, because McDavid almost certainly will go down as the greatest player of this generation.
His production.
It's outrageous.
Is insane.
But one of these dudes has a Stanley Cup in their back pocket, and it's not Connor McDavid. MacKinnon makes it two. Maybe you start having that conversation about who's the GOAT of this generation.
It's hard, right? There's so many talented players, but I just think MacKinnon's time in the sun is just beginning. Because I think he's been on the threshold of these conversations for a few years and just hasn't had a full season to cross it.
Yep.
And now that he has that runway, he's demonstrated I can produce with the best of them. but he's also so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a unique player in that sense. And that's why I think that he's entering conversations and at least touching or coming close to records previously held in an era of Lemieux and Gretzky. I'm not going to get carried away here, but it is special. And I think we're just seeing the beginning of it.
I hope you're right. I hope we're talking about a dynasty in a handful of years, but you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Right? Like if this isn't the year for MacKinnon to get the heart, if he gets a cup and the Avs become a dynasty, I can live with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think Mac would happily take that trade as well. So probably wants the heart at least a little bit, though. At least a little bit. That was our Bet 365 Never Ordinary Top 5 Reasons to be Hyped on the Avalanche going into these playoffs. Make sure when you are vibing, you're with the official craft beer of DNVR in Breck Brew. Grab yourself some like an Avalanche Amber Ale when you're watching the Avs in the playoffs and enjoy it. Dozens of flavors. Also, if Amber Ale isn't your thing, Breck Brew has tons of different flavors that you can dig in on. Some type of beer for everyone when it comes to Breck Brew. So get with them. You can find them in all 50 United States. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com today. And then, you know, beer in hand, you're going to want to make sure your house is looking good, looking proper, looking working right. That's where Lovello Construction comes in. Lovello specializes in all things roofing, gutters, siding, and paint for your home here in the Front Range. There's a QR code on screen right there. You can get an instant roof quote within a minute. You can also call 303-578-8551 to get your quote in under a minute from Lovello Construction. They get to back to you super duper quick. Not quite as quick as the Avs Cup run in 2022, because that one was extremely quick. But, you know, maybe as quick as this year's Cup run. We'll see. Obviously, April means storm season here in Colorado. You get rain, snow, sleet, hail, the whole nine. So make sure your house is ready to go and looking good. Lovello prides themselves on communication and honest assessments of your home exterior. So give them a call at 303-578-8551 today. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It's been fun talking about the Avs and all the excitement. I am genuinely super excited to see the Avs in this playoffs, what they show up, what they look like. But are there any other particular players that you're excited for outside of the Avs to see what they have in the playoffs?
It's an interesting question. And I have questions around what Dallas young stars can be.
Yep.
Gottinger being one of them, Robertson being another.
Yep.
I don't know, it's complicated. Like, Dallas has become maybe one of my biggest concerns, but also a team that I'm excited to watch. It's not that I'm necessarily rooting for them. I am just curious to see how those players hold up. And then, of course, what does Edmonton look like past round one? I have a pretty good, like, I think Edmonton is a stronger team than they were even last year.
Sure.
But goaltending remains a concern. It remains a concern for a few teams, including the Avs. So I'm not going to pretend that doesn't apply to other people. But I want to see then McDavid's and the Draisaitls step up and how that holds up for them. You know, is Eichel as good in the playoffs as he was for the cup year for them? I don't have any reason to believe no, but he'll be someone I'm keeping an eye on as well. And I've always Tkachuk out of Florida.
Oh, Matthew Tkachuk is just awesome to watch in the playoffs. I will reiterate that one.
He's fun. He represents so many things that I want in a hockey player.
It's interesting, right? Because I look at someone like Edmonton. Look, McDavid will get his. Draisaitl will get his offensively. Yes, the goaltending is a question mark. But I can't help but wonder, watching Nathan MacKinnon put Goligoski and Middleton on posters last night, can Mathias Ekholm hang in the playoffs?
I'm really curious about the D too. Yep. Like, they have their criticisms in Bouchard, and I think he's helped become a more productive member of their back end. But Darnell Nurse also just kind of, I don't know. Like, as a second pair guy, it's fine, but Josh Manson's looked really great.
He has.
Sam Girard has also, since returning from the player assistance program,
good. Yep.
Looked really great. And there's a bit of variety in what the Avs D-Core brings. You know, there's the puck moving ability. There's the physically punishing aspect of Josh Manson. And that's where I'm just curious what Ekholm brings. He's obviously a physical threat of his own.
If he can catch you.
If he could catch you, Miko.
Keep your head up, buddy.
But I don't know if he can hang with the speed of the McKinnons of the world.
And, you know, I know this is supposed to be a hype podcast, but I think it's important to take a moment to think about those things, right? I think often our chat, and like, understandably, we're an Avs podcast. You guys are Avs fans. But they get caught in the Avs bubble a little bit too often. Make no mistake about it. Every team in the West is looking at themselves and has similar concerns to what the Colorado Avalanche have going into these playoffs. Now, you know, Winnipeg probably not worrying about their goaltender, but they have concerns of their own to contend with.
Yeah, they demoted Ehlers to the fourth line.
Yep.
I don't... That just feels like it's got to... I don't know if how much that affects attitudes around the room when things like that happen. It just feels like they've never been on the same page with him.
Yep.
And they've had more allowances that they grant some players and then the shorter leash that they hold others to. I just wonder how that takes a toll mentally and what kind of residual impact that has around the room.
Yep.
I have those same questions for Winnipeg's forward group.
It's just my point that I think a lot of people probably feel uneasy about certain parts of the Avalanche lineup, and fair enough, but let's not forget that Ottinger has had not been all that good for a long stretch of this season in Dallas. You have a number of totally unproven guys, like you mentioned. Yes, Dallas has had some playoff experience, but we've seen Robertson shy away from some of those moments at times. You look at other teams down the lineup. Nashville, okay, they're going to make the playoffs. They went on a great run, but outside of one super hot streak, they really haven't been all that good of a team this year. Vegas, genuinely no one knows what they could look like on any given night, not only because of injuries, but is Aiden Hill any good at the moment? Who even is their starting goaltender at any given moment? And nobody knows. Every team going into the playoffs this year, at least in the West, is looking at parts of their lineup and going, yeah, we have some concerns.
Right. That could be a potential weakness down the line.
So I wanted to stress that, yeah, the Avs are far from perfect, but so is every team in the NHL. Except for maybe the Florida Panthers. I think they're really good.
They are really good. That's the East problem for now.
Yeah, exactly. You're playing the Florida Panthers in the playoffs as a West Coast team. You did something right.
Yeah.
It's all good on that front. I didn't have too much else. Is there anything specific else you wanted to touch on, Megan?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think cool. I got super hype way early in the show and talked a lot then.
Got it out quick.
Yeah. I just kind of poured it all out then.
I'm sure you guys will leave it more to like the PHNX crew, but do you have any initial thoughts, any like reactions?
Look, I would say I'm not going to think about it too much until we get actual official things going on. We've already heard the NHL try and walk back some of the sentiment that's out there. So
Cervelli, okay. Just like, hold on, side note. He's gotten really angsty on the internet, generally speaking, and just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I know I'm in the minority here, but I want them to stay in Arizona. So,
well, Eric's not here, so we can say it. I also wanted them to stay in Arizona. I don't mind the possibility of Salt Lake also getting their own team.
Same.
Through expansion.
Yeah, exactly.
But I, just having known the PHNX guys and even having met some of their diehards for draft stuff over the summer, there's a really good base there.
Yep.
And, you know, hockey in the desert formed Austin Matthews. And I don't doubt that there's some talent to be tapped into in Salt Lake too, some young player that could really be, you know, have his love of hockey ignited there too. But I just don't want to abandon what hockey has meant to Arizona. There have been a lot of mistakes made along the way, but I've seen the passion from inside that base. I loved Okay, this is controversial. I loved Mullet Arena. It's too small for them to continue playing there, but I loved it. I loved the energy of that fan base, and I will be sad if this comes to fruition.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it on that one. Maybe you can eat your way through the sadness if you're an Arizona fan with Illegal Pete's. They do have an Illegal Pete's out there, actually. Not even kidding. But there are 12 locations here in Colorado that you can get with for delicious burritos, queso to die for, and happy hours from 3 to 8 p.m. So go jump on it. Go get your local Illegal Pete's on. Get yourself those burritos and enjoy it. Also, great to pregame the NVR Bar. There's one just a couple blocks down the road. You're going to want to be hanging out at the DNVR Bar for some of these playoff games, both Avs and Nuggets coming up. And that's where Illegal Pete's can help you out. Go check them out if you haven't. Get yourself some Illegal Pete's. And then you're also brought to you by us. We have a bunch of events that happen all the time. Obviously, all of our takeovers for the year are done, but those will be back next year. And in the immediate, a bunch of watch parties here at the DNVR Bar for the playoffs. Come on down. Have a great time. It always fills up for the playoffs, so make sure you plan accordingly. If you want to get actual seats at the bar, you're going to want to get here early for Avs playoff games. But it's going to be a blast. I'm super excited for all the hype to build and have a great time here at the bar for these playoff games and just enjoy whatever it is to come out of these playoffs. So come join us. Come be a part of DNVR. Always a great time to become a diehard, too. When you become a diehard, you get access to our exclusive content. Eric just scouted Macklin Celebrini. That piece just went up the other day on the site, so go check that out. You also get discounts on things like events, things like merch, things like food here at the bar when you become a diehard. So great time to get in on it right now. Let's get the one super chat that we do have here. 65 Swede Bucks from Flats, who says, 2022 team was much better than he needed to be in order to win it all. Even though this team is not quite as good, they may still have what it takes. Yeah, I 100% agree with that sentiment. Doesn't matter how, why, or where, if you get to 16, you do the thing. Even if you lose, what's the max you can lose? 12? Yeah, if you lose 3 games in every series, you lose 12 games. So you can lose 12 games and still win the Stanley Cup. Don't recommend doing that, but you could.
I really won't. I really don't want them to do that. Yeah. Please no.
Thank you for the super chat, Flats. Much appreciated. We'll keep this one pretty brief. There's never been any reservations at the bar, I don't think. But you can always come down and try to find a seat. You don't have to get here 4 hours early. That's too early, Brecton. You're good to get here a little later than that. We are going to wrap up today's show. If you hadn't heard, we are going to go enjoy the late game movie with the Avalanche alumni tonight. What's the location? I forget. Nobody knows.
Movie theater.
Yeah, it's one of the like classic movie theaters in Denver. Yeah. Just look up the late game in Denver and you'll find it right away. Should be a fun one for us tonight. Hopefully y'all enjoyed the show. We are off Thursday and Friday, so we're taking a couple of days off here along with the Avalanche. And then we have the back-to-back this weekend where we will be live pre-games, post-games, and at least one of the games will have a watch-along. So we will see you there and hopefully we will talk to you soon.
We all silly like the mayor.